I'm going to use Psalms 1 tonight kind of as a backdrop to get you to where the Lord wants us to go tonight. And tonight, last week, I was trying my best to get you to see how do you respond and prepare for not only the favor of God being upon your life the way it's been proclaimed here, but how do you prepare for the seat at the table that the Lord has given you, or should I reframe it in different terms? How do you prepare for when the fruit shows up in your life? And because let me speak pastorally for a moment. Part of the anointing that is on this house is to equip saints. And when I use the word equip, I mean build up, okay? So to equip saints. And that word equip there means in the Greek to build up. And for the equipping of saints in Ephesians 4, all right, it's for the equipping of the saints. And so when you equip saints, you have to understand that the anointing of this house is to equip saints to go and do the work of the ministry, meaning we all have the ministry of reconciliation. And so our lives are a reflection of what God has reconciled. He reconciled us back to himself. And that means when we equip you, that word equip there is very powerful because it's talking about something, not just building something up, but putting something back in place. And so from a pastoral perspective, if you're in this church, you have to expect things that are out of whack in your life to be put back in place so that you can go and be the reflection that God has called you to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so if we couch it in those terms and we approach it that way tonight, as John 15 tells us that we are the branches, he is the true vine, the Father is the husbandman, that's where we've been all year long. And so if we abide in him, and he gives us a clue, and his word, somebody say his word, and his word abides in us, then something happens. So it's not just about us being connected to him. It's also about us allowing the power of his word to flow through our lives. And here's where the rubber meets the road. And so tonight, we're going to talk about the word of God and how we are to meditate on that word. Or I'm going to use Psalms 1 as the platform, and then I'm going to take you, it's going to bless you tonight, then I'm going to take you very quickly into, we're going to piggyback off of Elisha and show you some prophetic problem solving. Because if the favor of God is upon you, we're about to enter into the fourth quarter, that's what we're in, of the year, and we got this favor in the fourth quarter. I wish the Ravens had the same favor, but they don't. I don't know what happened. I don't want to talk about it, so leave me alone. Don't say nothing to me about it, all right? But this church has that favor upon them in this fourth quarter, which is going to propel us into next year. And so I'm trying to get you ready to hit 2016 running. Come on, somebody, so that the stuff that used to hinder you, the stuff that used to block you, the stuff that used to hold you back, the stuff that used to frustrate you, it's no longer in your view, it's no longer in your way, it is far removed from your life. Am I talking to anybody in here? All right, so that you can go and do the things you dreamed about. All right, so here's where the rubber meets the road. For every Christian and for every believer, the rubber meets the road with the Word of God. And so before we get into Psalms 1, very familiar passage of scripture, right? Let me give these caveats. The word of God is both a window and a mirror. It is beautiful to look into. But when you begin to look at, what you see through that window, and it reflects who you are, it is very challenging. Remember, the Word of God is the only thing that can separate soul from spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is why the format of church today is very popular because it's not particularly word-driven. It's praise and worship-driven. And so 21st century church today, I'm talking about the non-denominational wave of church, is to get you fired up through song. And so you engage in the word. Oh, we got awesome praise and worship. Like, great, what was the word? I don't know. What was the scripture? I don't know. What did the preacher say? He said everything was going to be all right. Preaching better than y'all shouting already. And so we go to church week after week to hear motivational speeches. Man, it's amazing, man. You can go some places and they never crack open a Bible. It's crazy. I thought I was in church. So when you open the word, and listen. A powerful man told me this one day. Pop Nelson, Turnell Nelson. Awesome gift to the body of Christ. And I'm going to say it like he would say it. Young man, do not feel bad when you cannot read your word. I can't get his voice though. He's very rough. I said, okay. He said, the time will come in your life where you will not be able to say, I read my Bible today. He said, but remember the moment you heard the word and the moment you open the word and you read one scripture, it's dissecting your soul and your spirit. Yeah. And so every word you hear, not just this one tonight, but the one you heard Sunday, the one you heard last week, some of y'all are still getting dissected from something you heard 6 weeks ago. So now let me show you how to grow from that. Psalms 1 gives us the format, the playbook of how to do it. So the Bible says, Psalms 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Blessed is the man, all right, no gender intended, man, female. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I'm gonna stop right there because I want to preach right in that window, and then I'll get back to the end. He says, blessed is the man. This person is blessed. It doesn't say this person will be blessed. It's saying this person is blessed. So it's reflecting on a habit of somebody who has already done something, not is about to do something. So it says, blessed is the man who does what? Huh? Walketh not in the what? Come on, read the Bible. Huh? First point, walketh not what? So the blessed person is the person that does not walk in counsel from people that don't know God. It is amazing to me today how many people I find going listening to somebody who doesn't know that God is the King of the world. I'm preaching better than y'all show. Getting wisdom from someone who doesn't know the God you serve. Because godly wisdom is totally different from the earthly realm wisdom. And so godly wisdom can make you look stupid. Y'all ain't said nothing. Huh? And in the initial approach, it can make you look like an absolute fool. But when it's all said and done, y'all ain't said nothing. You sitting there on top. And so he says, blessed is the person who doesn't do what? Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then it says, blessed is the man who does not what? Stand in the what? And the way of sinners. So now we got walk, and now we got stand. All right? And so he's simply saying, blessed is the man that doesn't walk and that does not do what?
Stand.
Come on, stand. In the way of what?
Sinners.
And so there's a pathway if you will, for people who are not saved. There is a way of doing things for them. It says, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? But then also it says, nor stands in the way of sinners. And then it goes on to say, nor what?
Sits.
Stay with me. And the what? So notice the progression. First you're walking. Then you're standing in the pathway. And the next thing you know, you're sitting. Stay with me. See how it progresses in your life, right? The blessed person is the person that does not, first and foremost, walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because if I start listening to you, you're going to direct me to a pathway that's not of God, that's not like Him, that's not reflective of His wisdom, His nature, His glory. Now I'm walking with y'all dummies, and after I get tired of walking with y'all dummies, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Now I'm sitting, not in a seat of sinfulness, but in the seat of the what?
Scornful.
I wish I had somebody to talk to. In the seat of the what?
Scornful.
It did not, listen very carefully. We're going to have real Bible study tonight. All right? He says, walks not, nor stands, nor sits. Right? There's a way that that person will not walk. There's a path that that person will not stand in. And there's a seat that that individual will not sit in. Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. So he says, seat of the scornful. I want to stay there. What is the scornful? What's scornful? Very scornful individual. Scornfulness are people who love to criticize. They will never accomplish much, but they will criticize everything that you're trying to do. So when you start walking after ungodly counsel, I don't have time to go there, but maybe I'll come back at another and we'll talk about ungodly counsel, right? Because remember, I'm tethered to the true vine. So my Bible is always a sure word of prophecy. Y'all are missing me. So if I need to hear a word from the Lord, I just open the book. Not go to the prophetic conference. Oh, God, I'm preaching my... Because what you want is for somebody to come and tell you everything's going to be all right. But sometimes the word says it's not going to be all right right now. Oh, God, I'm preaching. But while you're going through right now, God promises to keep you. I wish I had somebody. And remember, the Bible says all things. Not some things, but all things work together for the good. I'm preaching about yourself. For the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his what?
Purpose.
Jeremiah dealt with this. Jeremiah had to tell the people, you're going into 70 years of captivity. What a preacher. Church empty. Oh, God. This is why he wrote a whole nother book called Lamentations. This is why he's known as the weeping prophet. Because his word wasn't, you're coming out. His word was, you're going in. And the people said, oh, no, Jack, no, we ain't. So prophets rose up and said, no, God's going to cut this short. Prophets rose up and said, it's your time and it's your season. I'm preaching better. Y'all shouted. The prophets rose up and said, hey, everything's going to work out for you. And Jeremiah said, they false prophets. So be very careful. Preacher Melly, y'all shout. When you're running around trying to get a word, when you're connected to a true vine, which is the word, Because you want somebody to tell you what you ate for breakfast. Because you want to stand there and you want somebody to say, I see it. I see you've been hurt. I see you've been. Well, who hasn't been hurt? And then you start with the, and they go to going in because you crying, and the church is going, oh, help them, Jesus, help them. Is it too much for you? Is it? When you have 1,166 pages, 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new, of pure power that is a sure word that cannot fail, that's backed by God on high. I wish I had somebody. When you're listening to some goofball. And so it's nothing. Listen, despise not prophesying, prove all things. I'm not against prophecy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against that. It has its place. It has its place. What I'm trying to get you to understand, though, is that a prophetic word will never solve your problem. Ooh, I'm going to say it again. A prophetic word will never solve your problem. But I will show you how to have prophetic problem solving. Stay with me. In order for that to happen, you cannot walk in counsel of ungodliness. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Okay, if I got to deal with it. What do you mean by ungodly? What do you mean by the counsel of the ungodly? Well, you don't want to take wisdom from something that's not stable. It's like listening to a broker tell you this stock is going to soar. They don't know. And they don't care. Because they get commission whether you make money or not. The only way, oh God, I'm about to bless you. The only way you can find out if you're going to make money is to sit down with a financial judiciary. Meaning this person is regulated, my God, by a higher court and a higher power, and they are obligated to let you know how much money this investment is going to make. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. They're called financial judiciaries. I'm sorry, fiduciaries, not judiciaries, fiduciaries, where they are licensed and bonded and insured that if they give you bad information that causes you to lose money, you can recover. That's like listening to a word from the Lord. That even when it goes bad, he says, you're going to recover. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all. So this is our introduction. So that's listening to the ungodly. You can't bank on that. It might sound good, but you can't bank on that. The Wright brothers were sons of a bishop. Their father was a pastor, a bishop, and he sat at a kitchen table and said, man has reached the apex of innovation. The Wright brothers, their daddy said these words, man has reached the apex of innovation, meaning no one else is going to discover anything new. When his sons are at the table, and on the inside of them is the dream of flying one day. I'm preaching better, y'all shout. Well, what if they listened to their father? You don't think preachers can have ungodly counsel? I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Oh, you just thought it was from your heathen or say unsaved friend? Saved folk will give you some bad advice. That's why you have to have the word as a backing. So that no matter what somebody tells you, find it in the word. Preach about it, y'all. And if you can't find it in there, and I don't know if I want to stake my claim on that. I don't know. One of the best things that ever happened for me, and I don't have a lot of time to stay here, one of the best things that ever happened for me is that I had this revelation one time, and an old Kojic mother said, "Baby, that sounds so interesting. Show me that in the Bible." I never forget, I was like 23 years old. And back then, I was on fired up. If you say Jesus, I just. Would he bring you out, man? You'd be excited, Jack. You'd be fired up. I'm just happy I ain't smoking weed no more. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm just happy I ain't drinking no more, man. I'm just excited that I'm saved, man, right? And so she said, "Baby, show me that in the Word." I said, "I ain't seen it." She said, "Then you don't want to preach that book." The best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing that ever happened to me. She said it so delicately. It was so wonderful. But it never left me a state where I said, "Oh, now I guess I don't want to be talking about that." Right? So it starts off by walking in the counsel. Notice it didn't say listening to them. You can listen to a lot of people. Doesn't mean that you want to walk in what they're saying. Every man is my teacher. You don't hear what I'm saying. It doesn't mean I turn off Oprah because, you know, or I don't listen to CNN or MSNBC. Shoot, that was on when I came up in here. It doesn't mean I turn off voices and I isolate myself and become some, some recluse that just is scared to listen to Eric. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not going to walk in their stuff, though. Mm-hmm. That's right. You might bring up a great point, but if it contradicts what the Bible says, I can't walk in that. You might be a subject matter expert on what my condition is, but if the Bible says I can be healed, I wish I had somebody. Then, baby, I'm going to walk in that Word rather than believe your report. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right, you got what I'm saying. So you start off by walking, then you start standing in the way of sinners. I don't have time to go stay here, but you start standing in the way of sinners, meaning you're in the path. You're not a sinner, you're just in the path. And so it progresses to your circle now being influenced by people who don't share your same faith. Right? And so before, you was at a life group and you was friends with folk in church, but then, I'm preaching about it, y'all shouting, but then the progression was you kind of got away from the voice of God and the Word of God, and then your old friends was like, "You done changed. You ain't what you used to be like. We going out. We going to happy hour. I know you saved. You ain't got to drink at happy hour. Y'all ain't said nothing." And you go anyway. I'm preaching better, y'all shouting. But now you're hanging around them, and just by being around them, you're being influenced by them. You're not doing nothing. You're at happy hour. Yes, you got seltzer water. I understand, baby. Or your glass of wine. Don't try to act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But whatever it might be, it's now taken effect. And as it takes its effect, you take your seat. And you become a critic. Watch me now. Not of everybody, but of the Word. So when the Word comes forth, you're like, "I don't know." It loses its ability to reflect in your life. You can still look in the window and window shop. Oh, God. But you'll never put anything on and own it. The only way you can own what you see, oh, I'm preaching in here, is to meditate on it because it's your delight. Oh, yes, I'm going to repeat it. Y'all quiet in here. That's how I know I'm preaching good. Uh-huh. So he says, go to the next verse for me. He says that when you don't sit in the seat of the scornful, right, you don't become a critic yourself of the Word of God because you're bitter in some way. Can y'all go through it? Okay. His delight is in the word of God, the law of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. It's the Bible. It's your delight. Right? You love it. And on it, you meditate day and night. Notice, he didn't just say meditate. So you can num, rung, yo, yay, cho, and all that. I ain't against it, right? But that's the Eastern philosophy. Huh? It's not the word. I'm preaching right in your show. You can go meditate. You can sit quietly and think all you want to. It's a scientific principle that when you calm your mind, you're going to get some sort of serenity because your body will stop producing cortisol, which produces fear and anxiety. So that's a scientific fact, but it doesn't separate my soul from my spirit. The only thing that can do that is the word of God. So you can dog down in your yoga all you want to, boo, until you get the word down in your soul, nothing's going to happen. And I'm not against yoga. I go to hot yoga. I had to go with my daughter. She wouldn't do it, so I did it with her. It was crazy, but I did it. Okay. And so when they say meditate, I'm meditating. I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. What shall separate me from the love of God? I'm the head, I'm not the tail, above and not beneath. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. 1,000 fall at my side. I can't get no help. 10,000 at my right hand. When I meditate, it's the word. When you meditate, it's birds. And because you got some peace from it for a moment, oh God, is it causing you to prosper? Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. This is the hard part. I told you where the rubber meets the road. I can come in here and preach to you a word that'll make you jump and shout and stand on your head and you'll be doing cartwheels and all, hallelujah. But, boo, is that going to help you prosper? See, this will stay with you forever. And so he says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. He didn't say read it day and night. Oh, God, I'm preaching. He said meditate day and night. And so, as Terrell Nelson said, when you can't read the word, think about it. Think about it. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. It's not a day that goes by in my life where the word doesn't find me in my day. It doesn't find me in my day. That doesn't make me over-religious. It doesn't make me super spiritual. It's just that I need the word to separate my soul from my spirit, because if my soul continues to be fused to my spirit, see, that was the nature of sin. When sin came into the world, it fused the soul and spirit together like one. And so it can't tell the difference. The wheat and tares growing together. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And so this is why you're up and then you're down, then you're up and then you're down, then you're up. You go to church, you feel good. As soon as you leave, you can't even get to your car. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Your mind then took right back over. Because the word is the only thing that can dissect that and discern the intentions of the heart. What's the real issue? What's really going on? The word is the only thing that can get to that place. It's the only thing. And this is why we can't endure the word. When I preach in other foreign countries, they go, more. I mean, literally, more. And you're like, dude, I just preached for 3 hours. They don't have time consciousness. You give them an hour and a half service, they're looking at you like you crazy. It's quiet in here. It's quiet in here. You go to Africa and you preach for an hour, they're looking at you like, come on, bro. Get back up there. They will literally put you back up there. I preached at one church in Sierra Leone. Man, I preached 7 messages. I'm like, dude, I'm done. So I might have to go into prayer to get some more revelation. I have given you everything I got. I'm not lying. I preached 7 services. 7. Back to back to back to back to back. To back. Squat. Squat. All right. Oh, come on. Come on. Stay with me. This is about to get into the good part. See, you want the good part, but you don't want this. Okay. So on his law, he meditates when?
Day and night.
Man, I wish I had time to get into this thing. Day and night. And then, watch me now, he shall be like a what?
Tree.
That does what? That is planted by what? That brings forth what? When it's supposed to in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever that person chooses to do, does what? Prospers. Didn't say whatever they pray about. Oh my God, I'm preaching about your show. Huh? It didn't say whatever they sow towards. I am preaching. It just says whatever they do, does what? And then it gives a contrast. The ungodly are not so, but they like to chafe, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And when people read this, they so misinterpret it. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the ungodly, he does not. In other words, he ain't connected to them. Now, he's the God of the universe and cares for all, but he's got a connection with you. I'm preaching better than y'all show. And because he got a connection with you, and because you allow his word to come in, he says, look, boo, whatever you choose to do, I'm going to make it prosper. It's going to work out. I'm preaching to somebody, and you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. So, the manifestation of what I'm trying to do in God, in the kingdom, what I'm dreaming about, what the fruit I'm trying to see, has its clarification and its root in my connection to this vine. And if I let the vine come and bring its power in my life, which is the word, then whatever I do prospers. Oh God. Now, come on, let's go work a little word. I'm gonna show you what I'm talking about. Now, I'm about to show you how to have a whatever I do anointing. Are you even ready? No, I don't even know. Are you even ready for whatever I do anointing? Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't ready. You better get ready for whatever you choose to do anointing. It prospers. Y'all not in here with me. Y'all not in here with me. You're not in here with me. Yeah. Come on. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Come on. Let's go to, let's take you to Kings. All right. Come on. First Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Uh-huh. 2 Kings. Mm-mm-mm. I'm about to wear this out. When you meditate, listen to me, because you might want to write this down. Go to 2 Kings 4. Okay, 2 Kings 4. Come on, I got like 10 minutes, y'all. All right. When you meditate on the word day and night, okay? When you meditate on the word day and night, it gives you, oh God, this is so good. Listen to me carefully, because I want you to hear what I'm saying. And I don't want you to take this out of context. When you meditate on the word day and night, it gives you a prophetic thought life. It does not make you a prophet. So please don't leave here talking about, I'm a prophet. We're not talking about that. It gives you a prophetic thought life. What is a prophetic thought life? Here's a word for you. It's called intuition. An inner knowing of something. That when you choose to do a thing, you know it's going to work. You can't prove it. You can't even articulate it. You just know this is the way I'm supposed to go. God, I'm preaching in here. I'm preaching here. So when you get an anointing of whatever you do, it creates a prophetic thought life. So you think about things and see things from a different perspective than everybody else. That does not give you the license, if you will, to be peculiar. I see things from a different perspective, but okay, for lack of a better word, I'm not a jerk about it.
Amen.
Just because I have an intuition and I know certain things doesn't mean I don't still listen. I'm preaching about y'all. Because, see, some of y'all, I think at my church, I think some of y'all are mature enough to get this, because some people get this and think they don't need to listen to anybody. Uh-huh. It's quiet in here. And so when you sometimes if you get this in an off way and you get goofballish about it, you'll do stuff like quit your job before you got a job. Ain't nothing wrong with quitting. Just make sure you got somewhere to go, boo. Well, Pastor, you quit your job. Yeah, but I quit my job to do this. It's quiet. It's quiet. It's okay. All right. I'm gonna leave that one alone. It's called intuition, or insight. Intuition is quick, ready sight. Oh God, am I talking to myself? Intuition means I see it quickly. It's quick, ready sight. It means okay, I got to make a decision on my feet. Meaning, here comes the problem, and I got intuition about it immediately. Amen. Why do I need that? The reason I need that is so that my soul don't take over in the problem solving and cause me to take a seat. I got when I'm supposed to move and act. I'm preaching better, y'all. Shout it. Oh, my God. Ooh, I just preached myself happy. I'm sorry. Woo-hoo! Ah! Did you hear what I just said? Oh, my God. I'm about to run around here. Listen. I walk in this anointing. I'm telling you. Listen, when problems come up, and you got a knowing in your spirit because you have delighted in the word of God and you've allowed yourself to meditate on day and night. Listen, there ain't no such thing as a bad decision. You don't hear what I'm saying. Whichever way you choose to go, the Lord says, I got you, I got you, I got you, I got you, I got you. And so it looks like it shouldn't work out, but it does. I'm preaching better, y'all. Shout. And folk go, how did you do that? I just know. Oh, God. You know how many lawyers told me not to do this deal? Professionals that I was paying $450 an hour? $450 an hour. You pay somebody $450 an hour, they're going to find a reason to talk. They're going to find a reason to argue. I don't like that. Well, look, we'll get over it. You know when I first started in this place, how many bishops said to me, sell this thing. Get out of there, man. You won't make it 2 years. Insight, the power of act or seeing into a situation, it's penetration, the act or result of apprehending the inner nature of a thing, which gives you intuition, quick, ready insight, immediate cognition. I know immediately, mm-hmm. With no doubt.
Come on.
I know, so fear don't even get a chance. God, I don't give myself a chance to be afraid. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm trying to help you out. All right. So 2 Kings 4. You got it?
Yes.
Problem solving. Here we go. All right. I got I don't know how much time I have, but I'm going to take my time. All right. I'm not going to take my time. I'm going to take my time. Ephesians 4, 1. I mean, I'm sorry. 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4, start at 1. This is verse 3. Come on. 1, 1, 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto me my two sons to be bondmen. What's her problem? What's her problem? Huh? She's in debt. And just shout it out when you know the answer. Huh? Her problem is what? She's in debt. All right? Her problem is debt. And the creditors back then, they didn't put a mark on your credit. They just take your kids. If that was still true today, some of y'all be going in debt. Yeah. They gonna work it off for y'all. Take them. So her problem is she's in debt. And Elisha said unto her, this is powerful. What shall I do for thee? He said, let me think about that for a second. And then immediately he says, tell me what you got in your house. I'm preaching better than your shot, right? He says, tell me what you have in your house, right? So here's what I want you to notice. He didn't ask her about her debt. What was her problem? Come on, stay with me. Her problem was debt, but he did not ask her about her problem. When you have a prophetic thought life, you don't think in terms of problem. You think in terms of solution. So you never approach the problem with the problem. Immediately, what you got? What you got? Because whatever you got, God will make it work. I wish I had somebody in here. So he says to her, you just missed a place to shout. He says to her, tell me what you got in your house. She said, your handmaiden has not anything. I ain't got nothing except a pot of oil. So not only did she describe the critical nature of her situation, but she says, listen, she made it so drastic. She said, I ain't got nothing except this one thing, and that's all I got. You don't hear what I'm saying. When you have prophetic thought life, you can understand that resources are scarce and all that, and you can see that from her perspective, right? You understand that, right? Elisha was aware of the facts. The facts don't change. What you got? Nothing, just this oil. Those are the facts, but that's not the problem. The problem is what you have is not enough. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to take what you have and I'm going to make it more than enough. This is why you can have a job that doesn't meet the requirements of your life, but somehow you're still making it. And when you look at your budget, you say, how? Look at your neighbor and say, that's my God. Come on here. But if you start listening to some ungodly counsel, they'll keep telling you, you ain't got enough, you ain't got enough, you ain't got enough. And then you'll sit down when all this time, when you didn't have enough, God was making not enough more than enough. Oh, God. Is this blessing anybody? This is blessing. He says to her, listen, I know the facts, all right? But I see the invisible world. He was able to have insight to look beyond the obvious details. Also, all she wanted to do, stay with me, I got a couple more of these. All she wanted to do was deal with the emergency. You see what I'm saying? Huh? But when you have prophetic thought life, you have to think in terms of restoration and restitution. That's what she said on Sunday. You don't hear what I'm saying. So not only will God restore what it was, but then he will also repay. So in other words, he'll make sure you never go back into that situation again. I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you have a whatsoever anointing, you don't go back into the same problems you used to have. So you ought to get excited about new problems that you are about to have, because God is about to deal with the old problems. You don't hear those. Okay, hey, here we go. Here we go. Make my point more. Make my point more. All right? So how did the story turn out? Keep going. All right? Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad and all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. What does he do? He gives her a what? Instruction, which is a word. A word is nothing but an instruction. Huh? And when you come in, shut the door, huh, for you and your sons, and then pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Right? Keep going. Keep going. Uh-huh. So she went from him. She shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Keep going. Keep going. We won't get down to verse 7. Uh-huh. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Keep going. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, go sell the oil, pay the debt, and then go live, you and your sons. When you have a prophetic thought life, God will give you intuition about a problem, watch me now, that has facts that you can't do nothing about. But when you get a word on it, God, I'm preaching about it yourself, it takes what you have and grow it to a place where not only does it take care of the problem, but it gives you something also in return so that you can live. I'm not done. Keep going. We're gonna keep going. I got no more time, but you're gonna take this one. Second Kings 6. Come on. 2 Kings 6. All right, let's jump to verse 15. Verse 15. Man, I wish I had time. Verse 15. All right, so 2 Kings 6, Elisha, same person. Remember, we're using him tonight, right? Right? So the Bible says, so here's the problem. I'm going to give you the problem. Elisha and his servant is surrounded by the Syrian army. All right? Now, this should preach to everybody. Because what is the biggest problem in our world today? Where is it coming from? Syria. Okay. The Bible says, so they're surrounded by the Syrian army. And when Elisha's servant steps out of his tent, this is what he sees. He sees the Syrian army surrounding him. And when his servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? We are surrounded. They're coming to kill us. What are we going to do? I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. The Christians tripped me out. Now, they just tripped me out all over the country. Oh, we can't let these Syrians in here. Oh, my God. They're going to. Come on. Do you even know the history of Christianity? Do you even know that when Joseph and Mary had to go back because of a census, that they were refugees because they had no place to go? And somebody had to find room for them in an inn, which became a stable? Y'all not here with me. Y'all not here with me. I'm not going political on you. I'm telling you God is in control. And when you go outside your tent and you see an army around you, the servant is going, dude, what are we going to do? All these people are around us. And what does he say? And he answered, fear not. Can somebody shout that?
Fear not.
I need you to hear that down to the depths of your soul. Fear not. You need to tell yourself that tonight, right now. Fear
not.
Why? Fear not. For they that be with us are more, I wish I had a church in here, than they that be with them. In other words, we got more people on our side than they do on their side. What was the problem? The Bible says, verse 17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, open this boy's eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain. I don't have a church. I don't have a church. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. What did he see when he went out of the tent? Horses and chariots. But Elijah was chilling inside going, oh, yeah, they just got horses and chariots, but mine got fire all around them. Y'all ain't said nothing to hear. In other words, there's something happening in the spirit realm you can't see. That's why you don't need to be afraid right now. Y'all ain't here. When you have a prophetic thought life, it opens your eyes to be able to see the sovereignty and the control of God. And it stops you from saying goofy things. Like, God let that happen so that we could be punished or learn to be. That is the dumbest thing on the face of this planet. If he wishes that none would perish, why would he want people to die?
Amen.
Makes no sense to me. When you have the capability to allow the word, I gotta quit, to allow the word, we're gonna pick this back up because I haven't even gotten to the problem solving process. Oh, this is so good, man. This is so good. I haven't even got into it. I haven't even got into it, to the problem solving process. And I wanna help you with this because I wanna help you to stop allowing yourself to take the seat of the scornful. Some of you tonight are sitting in the seat of the scornful. A criticism here, a critique there. I'm a hermeneut, I'm a theologian, but I know this one thing without reservation: I didn't write the Bible. That'll hit you 5 weeks from now. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. The Lord did. Well, man wrote the Bible. Be quiet. It was by his inspiration that those hands penned what they penned. And God saw fit to canon what's in there. And it's so powerful, he hasn't had to make another version. So his word endures forever. Oh, glory to God. And if his word endures forever, if it endures forever, if this, can I borrow your Bible? If this book endures forever, how in the world can I take my mind off of it and cause myself to listen to something that's not lined up with that? How can I question its validity? I can question how it's interpreted. Oh God, I'm preaching. But not what it says. And that word says, if I meditate on the word because it's my delight, I love doing it. And if I meditate on it day and night, I will be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, whose fruit comes in its season. My leaf, you don't even hear what I'm saying. It gives me longevity and perseverance. My leaf won't even wither. It's fall right now, but my leaves won't fall. They won't turn colors. They'll just stay green and vibrant. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. And that whatever I choose to do, it prospers. God has given us a whatsoever anointing. Oh God, I'm preaching better. Y'all shout. A whatsoever anointing. I pray, God, you receive that tonight. I really do.